Welcome, everyone, to the Kathy Lee Parker Show, the number one place for enlightened and entertaining guests, positive vibes, and information that is spot on. And now, for your listening pleasure, your host, Kathy Lee Parker.
Oh, thank you for jumping on with me or tuning in with me wherever you're at. I'm here in Park City, Utah at the Park City Sundance Film Festival. It's a Sundance Film Festival of the 2020, and people are coming in, and it starts tomorrow, and it goes for a week and a half. And that's where they bring in all the amazing films and cool stuff that come in. You can see on the films and the big screen. So with me today, I have Tom Omer. He's an actor for over 30 years. Tom, are you with me today?
I sure am. Hey, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Wow, you've been doing acting for a very long time.
Yes, I have. Most of my adult life.
Most of your adult life. Well, you're just a young kid, right? So Anyway, tell me, as you know, my audience want to know about you, Tom. Where you come from and your little story of who you are.
I actually grew up in a small town in Indiana. It's not a small town anymore, however. It's called Carmel, Indiana. And when I grew up there, there was probably 1,800 people. And now there's over 80,000. So it's really grown a lot. But just a nice community just north of Indianapolis. I had siblings. I have four older sister and three brothers. And so it was seven of us, including my parents. And it's just a great place to grow up, you know, typical Midwest, great parents. My parents were married for 52 years before they passed away. And you know, just a really nice family, great way to grow up, great community, good schools, you know, it was just really nice. And then after I graduated high school, I joined the Army. And because I didn't want to go to college, you know, that didn't appeal to me that much at the time. So I joined the Army and I was there for 3 years. And then while I was in the Army, I decided that maybe I will go to college. So I left after I got out of the Army, after I got an honorable discharge. And then I went to Indiana University, which is located down in Bloomington, Indiana. And that's where I went to college. And while I was at school, there was a film that was, I don't know if any of your audience members would remember this. It was done back in the late 70s. It was a film called Breaking Away. And it was a film that was done about the bicycle race that they have every year in Indiana. And they shot it right on our campus. And while they were there shooting, they got a bunch of us to be extras in the film. And I was in the fraternity. And so they got a bunch of us fraternity guys to get little parts in the film. And that's when the acting bug hit me when I was doing this film on campus. And so I left school and came out here to LA, and I've been out here ever since.
So is that what inspired you to become an actor?
I think it really did, you know, because I really hadn't taken any acting classes at all in school. When I was in high school, most of the time all I did is work on cars. And I had no interest. I didn't do theater or anything with the school. And same thing at Indiana University. I didn't really take any theater classes. I took maybe one or something like that. But, you know, in other words, it wasn't in my blood really up until that film. And it just really was really inspired me. I just kind of got to see the behind the scenes and got to talk to a lot of the people. Actually, that film was Dennis Quaid. That was his first film. He was he's a real young guy in that film. And so I got to talk to him a little bit. And so I think that's what inspired me. And then when I came out here, it was a lot of acting classes, and, you know, and then that inspires you even more. And then once you start working as an actor, then it really hits you. And then you know how much fun it is. You know, all the hard work pays off.
Just your professional advice, because you have 30 years under your belt. Not everybody has the talent to be an actor or an actress. Do you agree?
Oh yeah, I think it's like anything. You know, there's people who dream of being a surgeon, let's say, and they go to, you know, they go to med school and everything, but yet maybe they just, for some reason or other, they never make it because they just don't have the talent. They can have the passion for it, but it's a very specific talent. And I think there are people out there that, you know, want to get into the acting business, but maybe, you know, they
They don't
don't
have a
have the
talent.
talent. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's.
I want to say something about this. This is my family member. I have a lot of family members that are actors and actresses. Some of them, of course, most of them have passed away. But one of them, I'll never forget this, he decided to be an actor at the age of 42. But his wife was an actress for years throughout her youth, everything. Then he gets into it. Guess who gets all the parts? He does. And it was so funny. And one time he was yelling at me, Tom, and I go, I don't know if it's really, is it acting or is it the real thing? But, you know, some people, I think they're just born with it, you know, and it's like being a radio host. There's some people who do it and then there's other people who can't. But anyway, interesting. Tell me what type of jobs have you done to help pay the bills between acting gigs?
You know, that is really critical. You know, a lot of people, they, you know, when I go back to Indiana, for example, I usually give a little speech to the high school drama department. I'm friends with the guy who runs the theater department at the high school, and so I go and I give when I go back to Indiana to visit, I'll stop by the high school and give a little talk to the class. And one of the things I tell them is that if you're planning on, you know, making a living as an actor, make sure you have a backup plan. Make sure you have either have a bunch of money saved up or have some kind of job that you can do that pays the bills, because the acting
That's
jobs
right.
are few and far between. So I have done probably over 30 different types of jobs, everything from waiter, bartender, limo driver, all kinds of things. In fact, I actually was a police officer for a while too. I joined LAPD and was a police officer, and which coincidentally is kind of funny. My acting career actually really took off after I became a police officer, because I started booking a lot of cop roles because I kind of knew how to carry myself off as a cop. So a lot of the roles I've done have been as a policeman, as a detective, and you know, that sort of thing. So it was kind of funny. But yeah, all and the important thing is the jobs that you have, the hours have to be flexible enough to where you can still go to your auditions and so forth. Like when I was a police officer, I worked what we call morning watch, which is 9 at night till 7 in the morning. I worked that shift a lot because that kept my days free to still, you know, pursue the acting. And same thing with being, that's why you see so many waiters and bartenders and so forth as actors, because not only do you work at night and keeps your days free, but if you book something and you have to be gone for a couple of days, it's real easy to have somebody take your shift for you. You know, hey, I booked this thing. Can you work my Thursday? I'll work your Saturday or whatever, you know. So worked a lot of those type of jobs.
Back to that, my uncle did the same thing, but of course he was 42. He hadn't had a business and stuff, but he, you know, my aunt was very, don't get me wrong, she was a very, very good actress. But point is he started getting all the gigs. I mean, you know, more gigs than she did, you
Yeah,
know, and
that's
he
funny.
comes in at 42 and no experience. Well, she helped him a little bit, but you know, no training. He walks on the set and
Boom, he gets booked. Yeah, you know, that's part of it too, you know, about acting. Kind of a unique thing about it as far as other jobs and so forth is because, you know, you can enter the acting business at any age. I mean, you look at like Hume Cronyn. I mean, he was in his 90s and still acting, you know. George Burns, you know, 100 years old and still doing his thing. So, you know, it's not like a police officer, for example. Once you get to a certain age, you know, hey, you know, maybe you better look for another job, because you know it's very physically demanding and that sort of thing. But as far as acting, I mean, you know, you can be any age, you know, 2 months old, a little baby in a crib and you're on a show, or 100 years old and you're playing the old guy, you know, so it's very flexible with the age.
Mm-hmm. You know who Johnny Whitaker is?
Johnny Whitaker.
Family Affair. Remember Family Affair?
Buckley and Johnny? Yeah, sure.
Well, yeah, he's the redhead. Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. And he was really good. He did Tom Sawyer, did all kinds of stuff. And and then all of a sudden he grows up, and then it's like nobody wants you, you know?
Yeah,
and,
that can happen.
Yeah, you go through a slump. Did you find that in your career, too, that, you know, you're going really good, getting all these parts and stuff, and then all of a sudden it just stops or kind of slows down?
Sure. Oh, yeah, sure. In fact, I forget, there was a famous actor one time that said that, you know, acting, you work a job, and then when the film ends or when the TV series ends or whatever, you're unemployed. You know, it's not like the business world. And that was the thing that really, that I had to make an adjustment. I thought when I first came out here to be an actor that it was similar to the military or similar to the business world, to where if you worked really hard and you did this, and let's say I did a little part on this show, well, somebody'd see it, and then I'd get a better part on another show, and somebody'd see that, and then, you know, so it, you could promote by the work that you do, but it's not like that at all. It's like you do a job, and the show's over, and now you're unemployed, looking for work again. So it is very difficult to keep a consistent income coming in, and it's always a roller coaster ride. Even major celebrities, you know, they'll be on a roll, and then next thing you know, they're not working for a couple years, and then they get on a roll again. And so it is definitely a roller coaster ride, and I've had some really good years, and I've had some really lean years. So it's definitely one of my favorite sayings. Somebody told me this once. They said, the only thing definite about Hollywood is the uncertainty.
Interesting.
I just kind of, yeah, because it is, wow. There's nothing definite about it, that's for sure.
Wow. And tell me about some of the parts that you were on. You started on, you know, on Red Band Society and Moonlight. You know, tell me about some of the parts and movies that you were in.
Yeah. Well, some of my favorites, I've been on some shows, probably the most popular shows that your listeners would be familiar with is like Criminal Minds. I was on that show. I had a guest star as a, actually it was kind of an unusual role for me. Most, like I said before, most of the roles I've done have been somebody in uniform, either a general in the army or a cop or a, you know, fireman or something like that. A lot of uniform authority type of roles are what I tend to book a lot. But this particular role on Criminal Minds, I played a really brutal hitman, and I got to kill a bunch of people. And so it was kind of fun because it was instead of saving people and rescuing them, I'm out there killing them.
Get your frustrations out.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a really fun show. Great people that were involved with that show. And I did a guest star in NCIS LA. That's another popular show. And I had a recurring role on Monk with Tony Shalhoub. And then just, you know, a lot of guest stars and co-stars on a lot of different network TV shows. And actually, for a while, my bread and butter was really doing commercials. I ended up booking a lot of commercials. And the nice thing about commercials is if you get a good national commercial, you know, you work one or two days on it, maybe, and you get paid every time it airs. So,
yeah,
you know, you could work. That's why you see, yeah, it used to be taboo. When I first started in the industry, celebrities would never do commercials. If you had a film star that did a commercial, that means their career was over and they were desperate. But now, I mean, you look at, there's Academy Award winning actors doing commercials now, because I think
or athletes.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
When because the Super they know Bowl, when they win their Super Bowl, they're doing a cereal commercial or something like that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, because they know it's not much time out of their schedule. They can, on, you know, 1 or 2 days shoot a commercial, and then they're going to get paid on it for a year or two, you know, if it's a good run. Mm-hmm. So that's what's really appealing, is a lot of actors, that's what they strive for, is to get a good national run on a commercial, because it can give you some financial stability to be mm-hmm. able to pursue the other shows and so forth. I did a couple of Super Bowl commercials, but the everybody thinks that, yeah, oh man, you do a Super Bowl commercial, make all kinds of money and everything. But it's interesting. The Super Bowl commercials, you get a lot of exposure because, you know, millions and millions of people see it, but they hardly ever air it after the Super Bowl. So mm-hmm. you don't get the residuals on it.
I wish they would, because some of them are pretty cool.
Well, the reason why, because they are so cool that people put them up on YouTube and social media. So now the network, instead of having to spend millions and millions of dollars airing it, they get it aired for free on social media. And so that's why the Super Bowl commercials, why they don't air them very much afterwards, because they get plenty of exposure on social media.
Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah, social media taking a different twist on television and the film industry as well as, you know, commercials and stuff. But Tom, we'll be right back after these messages, so sit tight.
All right.
There's a reason Summit County residents have been choosing Park City Mattress for 10 years, with Sealy, Serta, Tempur-Pedic, and Stearns & Foster right here in Park City, and the lowest price guaranteed. Park City Mattress in Redstone Village at Kimball Junction. See us at pcmattress.com.
Hidden Home Horse Rescue Foundation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit that rescues both wild and domestic horses and other equine that are either unwanted, neglected, abused, or their humans move. Head and Home helps rehabilitate them to be used in equine therapy to help those in need. We could use your support. You can contact us at 801-910-2698.
It's time to live your journey. Envision being stress-free. The Life Vessel is relaxation therapy that helps reduce stress, manage pain, detoxifies on all levels, supports the immune system, and balances hormones. Life Vessel uses an infrared light source that increases blood circulation and oxygen to the cells. Life Vessel of Utah does that and so much more. Call at 801-864-1300, lifevesselofutah.com.
Do you know how much equity is in your home, condo, or townhome? Do you want to lower your rate and take cash out? We're Valorem Equity, and we make mortgages easier. Give us a call at 800-764-9072 or visit valoremequity.com to receive your free home assessment today.
Trouble sleeping? The mattress you choose makes all the difference. How do you select from thousands? At Mattress Warehouse, we do things differently. We fit you to the right mattress that you will love for many years and get up to 8 months on our comfort guarantee. That's how sure we are about getting you the best night's sleep. Visit MattressWarehouseUtah.com and download your free mattress buyer's guide to help you select the right mattress at the best price. MattressWarehouseUtah.com.
This is Sherry, your Medicare specialist. I help people understand Medicare better in order to make smarter decisions among all the types of Medicare plans. Medicare seems complicated, but let me simplify it so that you feel empowered to make the right decisions for yourself about your health care. You need to understand all your options, so please don't let someone enroll you in a plan just because it looks good. You need someone in your corner, someone who is more concerned about you and less concerned about the money they'll make. Call me, Sherry, at 801-651-0644.
We're back here. I'm sitting here with Tom Omar. He's an actor of 30 years. And Tom, tell me, do you have any children?
Yes, I do. I have two boys and an adopted daughter. My boys are 27 and 25, and they both live out here in Santa Monica. Actually, they share an apartment together. They've been best friends ever since they were like little kids. So they still share an apartment together. And my older son graduated from UCLA with a master's degree, and he's a teacher. And then my younger son graduated from USC Film School, and he's a producer. So they're both doing really well, and it's fun getting together with them, and they're real good kids, and they're doing really well.
Tom, have you been in your son's film?
It's funny you say that. When he was in school, he actually did a student film, and he directed a student film, and he had a little part in there for me playing the father of a troubled teenager. And it was really funny because we shot at one of his friend's apartment buildings, and we were shooting it, and we did the first take, and then my son comes over to me and goes, "Hey, Dad, come here," you know, and he kind of puts his arm around me, and he has the script out, and he goes, "Now, on this scene," you know, he starts directing me, and I kind of look at him, you know, it's kind of funny to have him in that role, you know, here he is directing me in something, you know, so it was a real touching moment. It was a lot of fun, but hopefully he'll have something big coming up, you know. Hey, you know, put me in a movie, son.
Hey, put it in a movie and get the film out here for Sundance. Get it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
The Sundance Film Festival right here. I mean, I know they say it's hard to get films and stuff, but you never know. You never know. You just got to be out here hitting the pavement, meeting people, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go to Walmart and you run into somebody. Or even some of the actors, you know, I just tell you that, but, you know, they go shopping. But anyway, you never know who you're running into in Park City. Because some of them live here as well as being part of the film festival. And they also do a lot of films out here. They do a lot of filming
out. Yes, they do. Yeah, they do. I've been up there. I've ridden my motorcycle up there. Of course, it was in the summer. I don't think I'd be wanting to ride a motorcycle up there right now.
No.
But it's beautiful up there.
Yeah, it's snowing right now, and it's perfect for skiing, and people are coming in. It's getting crowded, and in the next couple of days, it's going to be packed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of parties. There's a lot
of things
and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but anyway, but make the long story short, so what type of acting classes have you taken? I mean, were they fun? Were they?
Oh, yeah, and I was a firm believer in getting a lot of training. I didn't even want to start auditioning really until I had some training, because, you know, you don't want to burn any bridges. You don't want to, you know, start going to auditions and not doing well and then have them not bring you back. So I immediately got into some acting classes and studied quite a bit.
I mean, what is the acting classes like? I mean, what do they make you do that when you go to an audition? I mean, I'm always curious about that.
Yeah, it's the classes, what we do, and there's all kinds of classes. You know, there's improv classes, there's cold reading classes, scene study, you know, there's technique classes, there's all kinds of different classes that you can take. But the one that I learned the most from, I worked with an acting coach, and what we would do is we'd meet once a week and we would do scenes from TV shows or films that are current, you know, that are that are either on the air right now or have been aired very recently. So it's all very current material. And he would assign a particular scene to us, and we would act out the scene in front of the class, in front of the other members. There's probably 15 or 20 other actors in the class. And then after you do the scene, then he would kind of critique it and direct it a certain way and say, you know, this part was good, or this part, you know, you you know, and we would just discuss it, you know, what were you thinking here? What were you think? And so he would kind of help form it and help it come across really well. And then you would do it again. And then it was so much better. And that's kind of the learning technique. He would direct you as to how he felt that it should be properly portrayed. And then you carry that kind of experience on to the auditions with you. So when you go to an audition, you kind of remember the techniques and the style and so forth.
Okay. Yeah. So to kind of polish you up a little.
Exactly.
Burn the bubble here, but Gene Kelly, you know, Gene Kelly,
Singing
in the Rain and all that stuff.
Sure.
While he danced with my uncle, they danced all over New England states in the 40s,
wow. Things,
somewhere around there. And then they got picked up with Hollywood. But anyway, but that was different then. I mean,
Gene Kelly
was funny. He'd do what he wanted to do.
Yeah,
people don't know when he was on set. Like they'll say, "Now I want you to dance on the roof," and he goes, "No, he'll dance on the roof and something else." But anyway, but that's the he was hilarious. And then then there's a few others that I know, but they're all, of course, all passed on. But you know, the acting world in those days was a little bit different than it is today. But I still can't figure out how they get the Oscars or how someone wins an Oscar, you know, or how, because it's, when I go to the films at the, you know, theater, I want to see some good acting. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I want to feel what you're feeling, and I want to,
right.
you know what I mean, walk away like, wow. Now, lately, I haven't been very impressed. I just walk away. It was a good film. That was a good film.
Yeah. Yeah, there's certain roles that are especially, you know, Oscar worthy or so. And, you know, some roles are just written so well and acted so well that, you know, that it just shines above all the rest. And a lot of it has to do with the writing. You know, I've had some auditions that the writing is so good that the acting just comes across so natural. And then I've had other auditions, the writing wasn't so
terrible.
Good, and it's so much harder to act a scene if the writing's not good. It's so hard. So good writing just really helps the actor out a lot.
Wow, that's good to know. That's really good to know. You know, please forgive me, my family members, they all came natural to the acting world. I always laugh about it. Like, and then when somebody else says they're going for an audition, they didn't get it. I go, but what happened? So I thought you got it. Why didn't you get it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
don't rub it in. Don't rub it in.
Yeah. Forgive me. I done some acting, but I was a childhood actor. I did the first Crest toothpaste commercials.
Oh.
I was a kid standing there brushing my teeth. And then that was in the 60s. So now I can tell how old I am. And then I did Buster Brown Shoes. But I didn't have to say – my roles, I didn't have to say anything. They just liked me because I was cute.
Yeah.
You know, real tiny and petite. Cute.
Yeah.
But I hated that. I hate being known to being cute. But anyway, but make the long story short, something happened. I forgot what it was. I have to ask my mom. But they pulled me out for a reason, my father did. Of acting, but I know what it was. I wanted to be the ears. What do you call it? Mickey Mouse.
Musketeer.
I wanted to be that so bad.
Yeah.
And I got in, but they pulled it. They pulled everything. Because once you get into that, you make it in show business.
Sure.
And I remember cried my eyes off of that. And my dad said, "No, we're not doing this." So he pulled me out and he goes, "I want her to have a normal life." So, but anyway, that was those days. Yeah, they pulled it. Oh, I remember that.
Mm.
Yeah. Little girl, but it was in the 60s and late 60s. And they pulled it. They pulled the plug on the.
Yeah.
That was really fun because you dance all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
Tap dance, singing, and performing. Yeah, that would have been so fun. But anyway, but that was my thing. But let's get back to. What type of organization do you support?
Oh, I'm a real proponent of our military and our veterans. And I actually belong to a group out here. It's called VME, which stands for Veterans in Media and Entertainment. And it's an organization that we meet once a month, and we network and we help out some people, and people help out us. And it's a really good organization. And one of my favorite charities that I belong to and help out with is the Gary Sinise Foundation. And in fact, I've known Gary for over 10 years now, really, really good guy. And he has, I'm sure a lot of your listeners are aware of the Gary Sinise Foundation, but if you're not, you should check it out, because he really spends a lot of time and effort into helping our military, and whether it's building smart homes for wounded warriors, or he has a band called Lieutenant Dan Band, and he plays concerts all over the world for the troops. And he does a thing called Serving Heroes, where he serves meals to veterans. And it's just a really good organization, and they do a lot of good. So anyways, I'm really proud of working, volunteering for him and his organization. It's a really great, great organization. And I also belong to the American Legion Post out here, the Hollywood Post 43. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I would say my heart is really with our veteran community and helping them out.
And let's get back to the acting parts, some acting parts here. And have you ever turned down a role?
I have, actually. Because I'll get scripts, my agent will, you know, get the sides or, you know, the scenes or the scripts and send them to me. And there have been several that I have declined to do, just because, mostly because of the writing. There's scenes that I feel uncomfortable with that I didn't want to do. And then there's other scripts I'll get that every other word is F this, F that, you know, and just a lot of vulgarity and a lot of just really unnecessary, just not something that appeals to me. And so I have, you know, respectfully declined, you know, say, yeah, thank you, but no thanks. So it's not that I'm super particular, but because when you're, you know, once you've established yourself, then you can get real particular on, you know, I don't want to do, you can turn down a lot of work. But when you're still trying to establish yourself and still trying to keep the ball rolling, you shouldn't turn down, you know, it's not a good idea to turn down work. But, you know, I draw the line at certain parts where I won't do certain parts, or so. Yes, I have turned down some.
You have anything that's coming up that you just did that's waiting to be on the big screen?
Oh yeah, actually, I shot a film in Switzerland back in March in Interlaken, Switzerland. We were there over a month. And it's called Man with a Silver Case. And right now, it is in the film festival circuit. We didn't get it into Sundance, but it is.
It didn't
get to Sundance, but it got. It, I think the last film festival it was in Berkeley, and it got a really good review there, really good write up. So it is in the film festival circuit, and the producers are trying to get. Good distribution to get it up on the big screen and hopefully have a good national run on it. So that was a lot of fun. That was a really cool film.
When it gets onto the big screen, that's when you start getting paid off the film. Is that correct?
Yes. That's where you start getting paid. And then also, even if it just goes to like streaming, like to a Netflix or to DVD or to something like that, then the actors still... you'll get paid additionally for that as well.
Mm-hmm. And that's good to know. I didn't know that. I think I did but it went through one ear, not the other.
Because
I remember I have a family that was actors, but I think it was just went through one ear, not the other. Like, oh yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But have you ever done anything like on your motorcycle, your, you know, Harley? Did you ever do any films with that or?
Yeah, not on my particular bike, but I have done, I've ridden motorcycles most of my adult life. And in fact, right now I have a Harley and it's a seventh Harley. I really like Harleys. That's my favorite. And this is my seventh one and I ride it every day. I have over 500,000 miles on motorcycles to just do a lot of riding. It's the only way to get around in LA, first of all. But yeah, as far as films, I have been a motorcycle cop in films and commercials as well, mm-hmm. where they'll have me. I've never played like on Sons of Anarchy. I've never done like a biker kind of thing because I don't really fit that profile. I don't look like a biker, you know. I'm kind of the typical bikers that they have on shows like that, you know, big burly guys with beards and stuff. That's really not my look. So I haven't, but I have done a lot of motorcycle cops because when I was a policeman, I actually was assigned to motorcycle division for a while. So I actually did ride a police motorcycle as a job for a while.
What did your buddies at the police station thought of you as an actor? You know what I mean?
They got a big kick out of it. You know, in fact, I did a film, Billy Crystal directed it. It was called Forget Paris. And, I did that film while I was still as a full-time police officer. And I played a motorcycle cop in that film. And actually I pulled Billy Crystal over in the film. And when it premiered in the city where I lived, we all went to see it. A bunch of probably had 10 of my cop buddies and we all went to the movie theater to see it. So they were real supportive of it. It was pretty fun.
Interesting. Do you have a PR publicist or do you just have an agent?
I have agents and a manager, and I don't have a publicist right now. I've worked with them in the past, but right now I don't have a publicist. But I have an agent that handles my print work and an agent that handles my commercial work and another agent that handles my TV and film. And then I have a manager that kind of oversees everything.
Mm-hmm. Do they keep you pretty busy?
They do. And it's, you know, like I said, there's, you know, feast and famine, you know, there's times where, you know, I have several auditions going on at once and then other times where it's just really quiet. So like right now it's what we call pilot season, which right now they're starting to cast all the new TV shows that are going to be coming out. So right now is typically a really busy time. Starting the end of January through February is a really busy time for us. And so we get a lot of auditions and a lot of activity this time of year.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about, you know, I'm very honored that you're on my show, Tom. I just really want to thank you for coming on. And because I get actors and actresses come on, but you have a lot of experience just being, I mean, yeah, there's some parts that you were the main star and then there's some mm-hmm. parts you just, you know, walk on. And my uncles and some of my friends, they said it's fun to be a walk-on. Of course, I had a few mm-hmm. of them that were main characters because I had big names. I have a mm-hmm. family member that's a big name, but I don't want to say who they are yet. That's kind of private. I keep it private. And mm-hmm. But anyway, he always had, you know, major big roles. But the thing is, others had walk-ons like you, and they said that it was so much nicer, you know, because you don't have to worry about the spotlight. But yet you're doing the part and you love being an actor, you know, or actress.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we have a saying, any day on the set's a good day. So it doesn't matter if it's a co-star, a guest star, you know, leading role, whatever it is, we always have fun. And I just really enjoy it. So, any part is as long as it's a good part, you know, well-written and you're working with other good actors, it's so enjoyable.
Hmm. So where do you take, you know, what's your, let me go back to this. What's your main competition? And when you're, you know, on the edge, you know, up on the edge, what's your main competition out there?
As far as like another actor
another actor.
Yeah,
like,
you're always competing against other actors. And one of the things I'm finding now is that as I'm getting older, that most of my when I first came out and I was in my 20s and, you know, going up for like the younger roles and so forth, a lot of my competition were kind of like me, where we didn't have a lot of experience. So, you know, the competition maybe wasn't as tough because, you know, maybe the other person that you compete against maybe didn't have as many acting classes as I did, or, you know, hadn't been around as long or whatever. But now that I'm getting older, most of my competition, they've been around as long as I have. And so everybody is a pretty seasoned actor. So when I go to these auditions, you know, sometimes I look around the room and I say, you've been on that show. Oh, and I recognize you from that show. And, you're so-and-so from that show, you know. So my competition now is other working actors. So it is a little bit tougher. But on the other hand, I feel more confident because I also, too, have the experience now and the background. So, you know, we're all kind of in the same boat. And it's interesting, too, because most of my friends, my acting friends, are supportive. You know, hey, I saw you at the audition. Did you book it? You know, that sort of thing. Or if I did book it, they'll say, hey, I saw that you booked that part. You know, I'm glad that you got it. You know, if I didn't get it, I'm glad you got it. You know, that sort of thing. So it is competitive, but yet it's also, you know, we support each other. And, you know, it's a small knit community, really. And we do support each other.
That's cool. Well, Tom, we will be right back after these messages.
Okay.
There's a reason Summit County residents have been choosing Park City Mattress for 10 years. With Sealy, Serta, Tempur-Pedic, and Stearns & Foster right here in Park City. And the lowest price guaranteed. Park City Mattress in Redstone Village at Kimball Junction. See us at pcmattress.com.
Head & Home Horse Rescue Foundation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit that rescues both wild and domestic horses and other equine that are either unwanted, neglected, abused, or their humans move. Head & Home helps rehabilitate them to be used in equine therapy to help those in need. We could use your support. You can contact us at 801-910-2698.
It's time to live your journey. Envision being stress-free. The Life Vessel is relaxation therapy that helps reduce stress, manage pain, detoxifies on all levels, supports the immune system, and balances hormones. Life Vessel uses an infrared light source that increases blood circulation and oxygen to the cells. Life Vessel of Utah does that and so much more. Call at 801-864-1300, lifevesselofutah.com.
Do you know how much equity is in your home, condo, or townhome? Do you want to lower your rate and take cash out? We're Valorem Equity, and we make mortgages easier. Give us a call at 800-764-9072 or visit valoremequity.com to receive your free home assessment today.
Trouble sleeping? The mattress you choose makes all the difference. How do you select from thousands? At Mattress Warehouse, we do things differently. We fit you to the right mattress that you will love for many years and get up to 8 months on our comfort guarantee. That's how sure we are about getting you the best night's sleep. Visit MattressWarehouseUtah.com and download your free mattress buyer's guide to help you select the right mattress at the best price. MattressWarehouseUtah.com.
This is Sherry, your Medicare specialist. I help people understand Medicare better in order to make smarter decisions among all the types of Medicare plans. Medicare seems complicated, but let me simplify it so that you feel empowered to make the right decisions for yourself about your health care. You need to understand all your options. So please don't let someone enroll you in a plan just because it looks good. You need someone in your corner, someone who is more concerned about you and less concerned about the money they'll make. Call me, Sherry, at 801-651-0644.
Hey, we're back here with Tom Omar. He's an actor. He's been doing it for 30 years. He's been on so many movies and up there on the big screen. But Tom, tell me about, what inspired you to keep going? What inspired you to keep going?
Yeah, I think what it is, because it does get really frustrating sometimes. You audition, you don't book something, and especially if it's a role you really think you're good for and you did really well at the audition and everything seems to be going right, and maybe they've even selected you as one of the finalists, and then you end up not booking it. There is a lot of discouragement. There's a lot more no's than there are yeses. But what keeps me going is, I think, when you actually book the role and when you're on the set and when you're actually doing the work, it's just so rewarding and it's so much fun that you all of a sudden it almost erases all your bad experiences of not getting the roles. You're on the set and you're working and it just feels so good and you go, okay, it's worth it. I'm going to keep at this. So I think that's what it is getting good quality work under your belt is what makes it fun and worth it.
Mm-hmm. And, tell me a little bit, give us a little teaser on the film that you just did in March, your part, and can you read us a little role here and there? Can you do anything?
It's called Man with a Silver Case, and the way it's described is, it's almost like a film noir version of like Mission Impossible and Jason Bourne, that kind of thing. So there's action involved, but it's got kind of a little bit of an edge to it. The director is the same guy who wrote it, and he's got a really good vision and a really good sense of style, the way he does his films. And it was shot entirely on location in Interlaken, Switzerland. And the unique thing about it is he shot it in 4K, which is, the really super high definition film, not film, it's digital actually, but he also shot it in black and white. So it's got a real unique look to it. It's very crisp and clear, but black and white. So it's real interesting. And like I said, it's in the film festivals it's been, and it's gotten really, really good reviews. Everybody really enjoys it. So I have a good feeling about it, and I think it's going to do really well.
Well, tell us your part. What part do you play?
Yeah, I played the storyline is there's a man with a silver case, and that's where they get the title from. And he's kind of like almost like a secret agent, or you're not really sure what's in the case. It's handcuffed to his wrist. And
is that you?
No, that's not me. That's the main character in it. My role is I played a hunter out in the countryside, and I live with a wife and two kids, and I hunt, for our meat, and hunt elk for our meat and so forth. And then this guy with the silver case, we cross paths, and there's people trying to kill him, and he kidnaps me, and then it kind of goes back and forth, and a lot of intrigue with who's chasing him and why he's being chased and why I'm involved. And yes, there's a lot of mystery to it as well.
Mm-hmm. That is so cool. And do you have anything coming up this year? Do you have any parts coming up this year? Oh, well, wait a minute. Everybody needs to know this. Oh, you had a role in Baywatch?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God. I love that show.
Yeah, it was, and this was the original one, back with David Hasselhoff, and I know they've done a remake of it, but this was the original one, and it was really fun. It was shot right here in L.A. We shot it in Malibu, right on the beach, And I actually played a policeman, believe it or not.
Were you another cop?
Yeah, and I arrested one of the lifeguards because he was involved in a hit and run accident and didn't report it. So I came in and took him into custody, and I did a scene. The scene involved David Hasselhoff too. Was actually a really nice guy and tall too. Man, he towered over me. I'm 6'2", and he was taller than me. I think he's like 6'5" or 6'6". I think a really, really big guy. Nice as could be. Really fun show to do.
And I know that you are in Beverly Hills, 90210.
Yeah. Beverly Hills, 90210. Yeah, that was one of those shows that was not a cult following, but it had a real popular, you know, it was a real popular show at the time. It was one of those that had a really dedicated audience that watched it a lot. And that was another one of those kind of fun shows to do, you know, because it's a popular show. You know, a lot of people are seeing it, and the people on the show have done so many episodes that, it's like clockwork. It just it went really smooth, and it was another good experience as well.
And you also played in G.I. Joe.
Yeah, that was a film where I was one of the military guys in that, and we did a lot of gunplay in that. A lot of the roles I get involve like gunplay because they know I can handle weapons and know I can handle the guns. Even though we're shooting blanks, you still have to know how to properly handle it and how to properly shoot it and load it and unload it and that sort of thing. So that was the role I had in that as one of the one of the military guys that was doing a lot of shooting.
And I know she's been in Dark Knight Rise.
Yeah, Dark Knight Rise.
Yes. And then you were in the Forget Paris. I mean, some of these movies I've seen, and I'm like, you were in them? So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So tell me about Dark Knight Rise.
That's the Batman movie.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it was. And what I did in that is another thing that I do with, you know, handling the guns and so forth is I also do what's called a precision driver, which is they hire, like whenever you're watching a film and let's say you see a traffic jam or you see a car, a chase or something like that, all those cars involved are all professional drivers that they hire because, you know, obviously they don't want, you know, people crashing into each other and stuff. So with The Dark Knight Rises, I was a precision driver, and there's a scene where Batman was on his bat motorcycle, and he's being chased all through downtown. And so we were in the cars, we had to be a certain distance apart from each other. So he would have room to zip in and out. So it looked like a traffic jam, but it was very well choreographed to where he could zip in and out without getting hit by one of us because we all knew exactly where to be and so forth. So that was pretty exciting. We shot that downtown LA actually. And,
of all places. Race to Witch Mountain?
Yeah, Race to Witch Mountain. Yeah, that was fun. I worked on that quite a bit. I worked on that for over 2 weeks. I played one of the special ops guys that was chasing the main character in there, you know, The Rock. Dwayne Johnson was the main character in there, and I was one of the guys who was chasing him all over the place. And so we went to Vegas for 9 days, shot up there, and I did most of the scenes I was in was with Dwayne Johnson. He was right there, and what a nice guy he was too. In fact, there was one scene where we shot in this little town just north of L.A. It's called Fillmore, and they do a lot of filming up there because it looks like it could be any small town anywhere USA. And all the townspeople knew that he was going to be there. So before he arrived, they lined the streets with people just waiting to get a glimpse of him. And when his driver brought him to the location, he saw all the crowd and everything. So his driver said, "Here, I'll take you the back way to avoid all that." And he goes, "No, no, let me out right here." And he let him out, and he walked up and down that street and signed autographs, got his picture taken, spent so much time with the local town people, you know, just saying hi and everything. So really, really humble, really nice guy to work with.
Well, there's so many questions we can go on and on, but you know, you've been in a lot of films. I'm sitting there looking at your list here, and I'm thinking, dang. And a lot of them are big names, too. I mean, movies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but tell me, what was, out of all these movies, the G.I. Joe, and then all of them, what was your favorite? Your most fun that you had?
Yeah. Gosh, there are so many that were so fun for so many different reasons. You know, as far as like action, you know, of course, you know, being on a set, a big set like The Dark Knight is Right. I mean, that was a $250 million budget movie. So, you know, you get on a set like that and, you know, it's just, you know, it's so different than being on like a smaller film, small budget film. So for that reason, that was really fun, you know, being on a big budget movie like that. Other movies, I had a part in Dolphin Tale 2, and I got to meet Kris Kristofferson, which was really cool. I've always really enjoyed, you know, him, and it followed his career for years. So for that reason, that was really fun, you know, getting to work with somebody like that. And then other films I've done for friends, you know, that are like one friend of mine wrote and directed a film, and he had a part in that for me. And it was really a great experience because I knew I was doing it for a buddy. So, you know, there's so many good experiences for so many different reasons, you know, that, but as far as having the most fun, I would say, gosh, probably when I did that guest star in Criminal Minds, getting to play a hitman, you know, I think that was so much fun because it was so different from any other role I've done. And
can I ask you a question? When you're in some of these roles that you're doing, do you ever get your frustration out, or do you get to be that person that you always wanted to be?
Yeah, sometimes it is, you know, like, for example, I did this one film where I played a 4-star general, army general. And when I was in the army, I was only a specialist E4, you know, which is kind of like a, you know, it's kind of like a sergeant, you know, so to get to play a 4-star general with you should see the medals and the ribbons on my uniform. So that was kind of cool, you know, being able to do that, you know, walk around like you're this, you know, this 4-star general. So yeah, there's definitely roles that are fun like that.
Oh my gosh. Because yeah, I always wondered about that. And I auditioned for a part, but it didn't come through, or they're still working on it. It was a country music part, and I was supposed to be this divorce widow or something, wife, and mm-hmm. something about a baby and not to get your hands on my baby. And I played it so good, and I let my frustrations out on it. I had a bad day that morning, so I put it into the audition, and they loved it. They go, "Dang, sure. You're good." But it was so funny. I just let it out.
because, you know, lifetime,
acting is hard. I think, you know, just to audition, I don't know how you guys do it. It's like, do it over and over until you get it right, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I think it's amazing that you did it. And that's so cool that you got to be, you know, that 4-star general. That is probably like a dream. I bet you, any of your military buddies probably saw that and thought, he's a 4-star general. He looks pretty good as one.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have a lot of pictures from that. In fact, on my IMDb page, I have a picture of me with the 4-star general uniform on, which is kind of, and I actually a commercial that I did, I played a general in a commercial too. So yeah, that's fun when you get to be other people like that, other characters.
Wow. Yeah. Well, at least you got to live your dream. Don't have to be in it, but you get to live the dream.
Right.
Oh,
right.
And I noticed that you were on the roles of Days of Our Lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you were on
Cheers.
You did a lot of stuff. You were on the Love Boat. I mean, oh my God, you were Murder, She Wrote. I mean, holy smokes. So,
Days of Our Lives, I just shot that, and that's going to air. The episode's going to air on April 22nd. They shoot several months in advance. So the episode I did is going to air on April 22nd. I played an airline pilot.
That's probably different.
That was different. Yeah.
What did you do on Cheers? I watch Cheers all the
time. Cheers. Tom Skerritt actually played the owner of the bar, and I was like his assistant, like his henchman. And I'd pull out his chair and get him this and get him that, and so I was kind of like the owner of the bar, his assistant.
And Murder, She Wrote.
I played a cop on that one.
What about the Love Boat?
Yeah, I played an assistant to what was his name, Gavin, the lead in that. I played his assistant, like a purser, somebody on the ship kind of thing, assistant to him.
And you were on Dynasty?
Yes, I played Joan Collins' chauffeur on that. In fact, that was my very first speaking role. I shot
Gosh.
Yeah, I played Joan Collins' chauffeur on that. And that was exciting because, at the time, that was like one of the top shows, and that was my very first speaking role. So that was real exciting for me to be able to book, a big show like that right out of the gate. So, I mean, it took me a while. I think I'd been out here for over two years before I booked that role. So it took me a while to book my first role.
Wow, you also do the Chicago 8, mm-hmm. Reawaking, the Dolphin Tale 2. I mean, you've done a lot of stuff. You weren't just, walking the walk. You were walking the talk. But I don't
walking
know how
talk.
You would say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But this
Not
is
walking
amazing.
The walk, but talking the talk.
So tell me, Days of Our Lives is coming out in April, but what have you, like a movie, have any movies coming up that you're going to be in or?
Yeah, the one that I was telling you about, Man with a Silver Case, that's a feature film.
But one that you're going to be going to film, I mean, that you're going to be going to make.
Oh, that's coming up. No, so far I haven't booked anything.
Oh, yeah.
I just last week booked a TV show, but when I went in for my wardrobe fitting, they told me that the part was written out because the episode was too long. So I booked the role, but I didn't get to shoot it because they re-edited the show and wrote out the part. So.
Okay, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
Do you ever get parts that you weren't expected to get? You know what I mean, roles?
Yeah, I've auditioned before. I've gone in and thought I didn't do well at all. I went in and I auditioned for it, and when I left, I go, oh, man, I wish I would have done that differently. That was terrible. Oh, man, what am I doing? And then I get home, and my agent calls me and goes, yeah, you booked it. They loved it. So that's happened before, when you don't. And then there's other, just the opposite. There's other auditions I go to and I just nail it. I know I did really good. Oh, man, I did so good. I know I'm going to book that. And then nothing. You never hear from them. So, that's a little frustrating.
Hmm. Wow. Do you ever have people call you and say they would just want you instead of going to do an audition?
It used to be that way. When I first started out, the industry has changed a lot since then. And I used to get calls like that. In fact, they wouldn't call me directly, but they would call my agent and they'd say, uh-huh. Hey, we know you know, Tom, we saw him on this show, and we have a show. We have a little part coming up. It shoots next week. Is he available? And, you know, so they used to do that kind of thing. But now, unless you have a really big name, everybody's auditioning now. You know, it's those kind of parts where they just kind of give them to you, unless you're a big name. You know, most of my peers, we still have to audition all the time for everything.
Hmm. Okay.
Unless it's a friend or something, you know, if it's a friend that's doing a film, then I'll get those calls, you know, hey, I'm shooting this film. I got a good part. Do you want to do it? You know, sure. You know, that sort of thing.
I've seen at the movies, like, some of the films out there that they had a budget of $300,000, and they made, and it, they got to the big screen and made so much money, millions and dollars.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. My Greek, the Greek Wedding or something like that.
Oh, my Big Fat Greek Wedding. Yeah.
That was a low budget.
Yeah,
I was surprised. Yeah. Very low budget. And it made millions, but it was a funny movie. That's a really good one. It's,
yeah,
and I think
because
there's a lot of
like
Greek
that.
And Italian, so then we understand
that
role.
Yeah.
But anyway, so where do you see yourself in a year from now?
In a year from now, I would say, well, hopefully if things go like I think they're going to go, in a year from now, I would like to see myself having a contracted role, like on a series or in, you know, in some kind of major film. But having a contracted role, that would be my one-year goal. Being a series regular on a TV series, I think that would be something I'd really enjoy. And that's obviously that's something most actors kind of strive for because it's good, consistent work and it's good money and you're working all the time. And so, you know, and you really get to develop that character because you're on the show every week. So that's where I would see being a series regular. That's what I'd like.
Okay. Well, I'm getting flagged down, but I just want to, Tom, thank you so much for coming on my show. And
it's a pleasure. I'd
love to have you come back in, you know, 6-7 months and see what you're up
sure.
to. And
yeah,
and
definitely.
Wow, you have done a lot. I'm really impressed. Really
well, good.
Impressed.
And it was really nice talking with you, too. And
I hope you go far and keep going.
Thanks.
You know, it's like you said, you just never know when you get that one big break. You know what
exactly.
I mean? That everybody in the world knows who you are.
Exactly.
But anyway, well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks.
And you have a
thank
great
you.
Evening. And enjoy Sundance Film Festival. And I'll catch up with you later.
Have fun up there.
Okay, I will.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.